Blessed Thanksgiving to you and to yours. It's a different Thanksgiving this year, but we are in the Lord, and we are able to worship here, even though we are small in numbers, and others are able to join us online and worship with us as well. A special welcome to those who are guests and visitors here tonight and also online. A few announcements that I want to highlight for you. You saw that Don had posted them on the screen. This coming Saturday is New Year's Day in the life of the church, which means that it's Advent 1. And in the season of Advent, we prepare for the coming of our Lord. It's a season of hope. It's the beginning of a new church year. And so this Saturday, we'll have discipleship covenant forms available for membership. We'll also have amaryllis plants available from Dick Stanley. He wants to continue the tradition that Nancy began, so there'll be an amaryllis plant for the women of our congregation. There's also keepsake Christmas ornaments. We have that tradition here, and so those will be available, one per household, starting this Saturday as well. And then, because it's the first weekend in Advent, Judy Pierce has also gotten a Thrivent grant, and you know that in the past we have taken store-bought cookies to the different hospitality houses here in Rochester. So that's another opportunity that we have as well. Tonight we'll be celebrating the Lord's Supper, the Great Thanksgiving, and we'll be distributing the body and blood of Christ to repentant hearts at the close of the service. So please follow the direction of the ushers, and they'll usher you out, you know, one person or one household at a time, so that you're able to safely receive the body and blood of Jesus. And then also, as you leave, it is our tradition of having pie, and so we have been sending out Thanksgiving cards to people, and we have store-bought pie that's been carefully individually prepared and apportioned out into containers. And so you can take a piece with you, and you can also take another second piece with if there's someone in your family, in your neighborhood, that you know that you would like to perhaps tonight yet or tomorrow drop off a gift of Thanksgiving, a reflection of how our fellowship, our koinonia, is in the grace of God, in the love of God. It is in the Lord. Other announcements are in your bulletin, and I encourage you to please take note of those as well. This Saturday, Pastor Dallas Groton will be our guest preacher, and then starting tomorrow, Julie and I will be on a week of vacation, but we'll be around, and so you'll still probably see us, or you'll at least hear from us. I invite you then to rise as you are able for our opening song, Come, You Thankful People, Come.
Ye thankful people, come, raise the song of harvest home. All is safely gathered in, ere the winter storms begin. God our Maker doth provide, for our wants to be supplied. Come to God's own temple, come, raise the song of harvest home. Even so, Lord, quickly come, bring thy final harvest home. Gather thou thy people in, free from sorrow, free from sin. There forever purified, in thy presence to abide. Come with all thine angels, come, raise the glorious harvest home.
Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make his deeds known to all the people.
For he is the Lord our God, faithful to a thousand generations.
Sing his praises, tell of his wonderful works, and glory in his holy name. Let those who seek the Lord rejoice.
For he is the Lord our God, faithful to a thousand generations.
Search for God and for his strength. Never stop looking for him.
For he is the Lord our God, faithful to a thousand generations. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, our lives are filled with the abundance of your grace and mercy. We thank you for the good things of your creation that fill our lives. We praise you for the gift of Jesus. May our gratitude be so abundant that it flows into radical generosity that reflects your boundless love for all. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated for the hearing of God's word.
The first reading is from Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you, Philippians, yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. The second lesson is from Luke chapter 17, beginning with verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has saved you.
We sing together, Great is Thy Faithfulness, 2 verses.
Faithfulness, O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not, as thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin, and a peace that endureth.
Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today, and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine, with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness.
Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have made, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Great is thy faithfulness, all that I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Or in the words of St. Paul, I've learned to be content in all and every situation. St. Paul says, and my God is going to supply every one of your needs. Not necessarily your wants and desires, but every one of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. As I've been living with the past month this beautiful text from Paul's Epistle of Joy, three words have just been surfacing time and time again. You can hear it in the words, in Christ Jesus. Or, as Paul will say in our first reading for tonight, rejoice. Rejoice always in the Lord. In the Lord is the source of our everlasting joy, and not just being happy-go-lucky from day to day, depending upon our situations or our circumstances or our feelings, all of which can be, well, quite fleeting. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Exclamation point. You see, Paul says it twice. Boom, boom. So that we don't miss it. It's like in the Gospels when Jesus says, truly, truly, or amen, amen. It's for emphasis so that we know what's at stake. Because the bottom line is that it's not the circumstances, it's not the material goods that come our way that's going to determine whether we're blessed or cursed. God sends his rain and his sunshine upon the good and upon the evil. So what is it that actually determines our joy? Always? Not just sometimes or most of the time? Paul says it's always in the Lord. I would encourage you as you're reading through Scripture, in the New Testament, watch for those phrases, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, from which we get the word Christian. Or pay attention to when Paul says to the Philippians several times, in the Lord. What does it mean to be in the Lord? What does it mean to be people that are grateful and filled with thanksgiving? St. Paul says, rejoice always in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Let all people know your forbearance or your gentleness. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is here, present. Emmanuel, God with us, not distant and far away. He can be seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding, praying for us. And yet the Good Shepherd is right here at hand, holding in his hands his beloved sheep, those that he has redeemed, those that he has chosen to save. Recently, in fact, 1 week ago, tomorrow, last Thursday, I was at Mayo Clinic, and I was doing that regular every 2 week ritual where I needed to take my infusion pump and have it disconnected and give it back. And I wondered, my appointment was at 10:30, I wondered how long would I be waiting? Because the previous time it was like an hour and a half before I went in, and it only takes probably 2-3 minutes for me to have it disconnected and for me to get my shot. Well, the appointment was at 10:30, and I finally got in at 11:30, but you see, I'm not always the easiest to live with. I know that might come as a surprise to some of you, but I can get irritated. And of course, I could blame my circumstances and say, but it's really not me, and it's really not my fault. You know, it's this darn cancer. Well, excuses won't carry very many buckets of water. So here's what happened. I found myself getting irritated, looking at my watch, reminding some of the people working at the desk that, you know, the timer went off, it's been shut off for over a half hour, 45 minutes. And they said, well, we'll let them know that. And then it happened. In the midst of my kind of not being so calm, not being so relaxed, not being at peace in the Lord, because that can happen to all of us, folks. In the Lord, we find our peace. In the Lord, we find our answer to prayer. In the Lord, we find our calm. In the Lord, we find our salvation and our Savior. In the Lord, we find repentance and forgiveness of sins and resurrection of the body and life everlasting. But only in the Lord. So here's the gift that God gave me. You see, there's a lot of people that are on the 10th floor of Mayo Clinic. And they're there because they're getting chemo or they're being treated for cancer. Well, here comes a woman and her husband, and they're probably in their 50s or 60s. And it was like an exclamation point. This woman was wearing a long-sleeved t-shirt. And she was with her husband, and I guessed that probably he or she was there for an appointment about cancer. On her shirt was just one word. And that word kind of hit me right between the eyes, in a good way. That word was grateful. Grateful. And I said to the Lord, thank you. We get impatient, we get irritated, we lose our calm, we lose our peace. We forget that we're in the Lord. We forget that Thanksgiving is not about, well, yeah, but we don't have the 30, 40, 50 people this year, and we don't get the 3 or 4 pieces of pie, and we don't get to have second or third helpings, and what about all those football games, you know? We think about all that stuff, and we say, that's what it means to be thankful. And here was a gift from God that reminded me, in my own fallenness and sinfulness, grateful. Grateful. And so they called my name, and as I walked past this woman, whose husband had already gone in, I looked at her and I said, I like your t-shirt. Thank you. Thank you. You see, we live in hard times right now, with COVID-19 and with all kinds of other things that are kind of beating away at us, and people that have worked hard on small businesses, seeing those businesses going under. And parents working, moms and dads full time, and then they're still trying to also do distance learning with their own kids in their house. Yeah, these are hard times. And is it the circumstances that we're living in that determine our gratefulness, our gratitude, our thankfulness? Is that what Thanksgiving is? Is it just temporary? Is it fleeting? Is it temporal? In other words, it's just tied to circumstances and situations in the here and now? Or has Paul, in the first reading for tonight, when he says, I've learned the secret. Did you catch that? When Julie was reading it? I've learned the secret. I know how to have everything. I know how to have nothing. Because it's not what I have that makes me grateful. It's not what I have that gives me joy. It's the one who has me. You've got to catch this. I don't want you to miss this. Because we live in a world right now, you know, where some people are happy and some people are sad about the elections, and people are wondering about the moral decay of our culture. I mean, we live in so much despair. And we think, right, in America, that to be blessed is to have good health and to have lots of money. We measure everything materially. And Paul says, well, I took out the balance sheet, and when I started looking at debits and credits, I realized that I have nothing that will get me right with God except my sin. And so the Savior brings everything and saves me. So it's not what you or I have that brings us joy. That's not what Paul says. That's not what the scriptures say. It's the one who has you in the Lord. You see? You're in the Lord. He has you. He's the good shepherd. He's not going to let anyone snatch one of his sheep out of his hands. In the Lord, forgiveness of sin. In the Lord, baptized into Good Friday and Easter morning. You see? Now, I'm not saying these words are popular, but what I do want you to understand is that in 104 verses in Philippians, Paul's prison epistle, his epistle of joy, look for the word joy, look for the word rejoice, which is not just a suggestion. Not just an invitation. It's a command. It's an imperative. Rejoice always in the Lord. Again, I say, exclamation point, rejoice. Paul is in prison. Maybe in a rat-infested prison. Paul knows that his days are numbered. Paul has been shipwrecked, and Paul has been beaten, and Paul knows how to have everything and to have nothing. And yet, in the eyes of the world, having nothing, having everything, because of the one who has him. They thought the Roman Empire, the powers that be, they thought that they could shut Paul up, that they could lock him up, that they could fetter him, and he wouldn't be able to tell people about Jesus. But God gave Paul an open door. In the midst of heartache, in the midst of what would be nothing but hopelessness and despair, Paul says, the gospel is advancing. People are getting saved in the Lord. People are getting saved in the Lord. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. You see what Paul's getting at? We sometimes set our sights too low. You see that story in our gospel reading for tonight? 10 lepers, right? And they all want to go to the clinic and get healed. They're looking for a physician that's going to take care of their problem that's right here and right now. And Jesus says, No problem. Go show yourselves to the priest. And on the way, they're healed. Well, physically. And one man comes back and reverently falls at the feet of Jesus in the posture of worship. And he praises God. In the presence of Jesus, in the Lord, he praises God. And Jesus says, where's the other nine? And then he says, you heard those words. Rise, go your way. Your faith has saved you. You see his joy? His joy is not just that leprosy is gone. And so for the here and now, maybe the next week, maybe the next year, maybe the next 10 years, I get more time. On Facebook, a dear friend of mine who had a kidney removed because of cancer, and now his wife has been in the intensive care unit, and we've been praying for her for the last couple of weeks, too, while she's been in intensive care, hooked to a ventilator. She's battling very serious, aggressive lung cancer. And he said on Facebook, this Thanksgiving is really going to suck. Yeah, if all we can see is our earthly circumstances, if all we can see is hopelessness and despair and frustration and anger and irritation, then I suppose it's not just Thanksgiving Day that sucks, but every single day of life will suck when we're not getting lucky and when we're not happy-go-lucky. Paul has a word for us, and he's speaking from experience. He's in jail. He knows that his time here on earth is limited, and he wants to make the most of the moments that God still is giving him, and he looks around and he says, oh my goodness, the gospel is advancing. People are getting saved. Don't you want to rejoice? See, it's a different question, isn't it? The command is heard in a different way. It's a gift from God, a blessing, like when suddenly I see a t-shirt on the 10th floor of Mayo Clinic. Grateful. Grateful. Maybe what we're experiencing this year, 2020, maybe we can see it as the grace of God. When Paul began his letter to the church at Philippi, the church, remember, that he went to, he and Silas, the second missionary journey, Acts chapter 16, you can read about it. Remember Lydia? She came to faith. The Lord opened her heart to be saved, and then she opened her house, wealthy woman that she was, as a headquarters for the mission of God. You remember what happened there, that one day when Paul was going with Silas to that place down by the river, where God-fearing people gathered, and there was this slave girl that brought a lot of money to her owners, and she kept crying out, these men of God, they preach the message of salvation. And so Paul and Silas cast the demon out, and they got beat up for it, and they got thrown into jail. What do you do? Well, at midnight, they decided that instead of just having a pity party, they would worship. And they had a hymn sing. And they praised God. And they rejoiced. And then there was an earthquake. And all the chains fell. And all the prison doors opened. And you remember what the jailer did? The Philippian jailer? He grabbed his sword and he said, I'm dead meat. He was going to take his own life. And Paul said, don't. We're all here. We haven't gone anywhere. You see, there's a greater freedom than just getting out of jail. And this jailer, he said, what do I need to do to be saved? And Paul says, you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Lord, you need to believe. And he was baptized. And the story ends with these words. He and his whole household were baptized. They came to saving faith in Jesus, and they were filled with joy. Salvation is the basis of our joy. Jesus is the source and content of everlasting joy. There is no joy apart from him. You've heard of the 30 Years' War in Germany. It affected a city, a town, which was a walled city by the name of Eilenburg, Germany. And Martin Reinkert wrote a song that we're going to sing tonight called Now Thank We All Our God. With heart and hands and voices. For thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore. You know what happened in Eilenburg? Martin was born into a poor family, but by the grace of God, he was able to get educated. He became a pastor, a minister in Eilenburg in 1617. The next year, the 30-year war began. And people flocked as refugees to that walled city for protection and for food. In fact, one of the stories that I read, it got so bad that people were literally, you know, fighting each other within the city because of all the poverty and hunger and starvation over the dead carcass of a cat or of a pigeon. Desperate people. In 1637, 20 years that Martin had been pastoring in a city and in a land, an area that was torn apart by war, devastation, and death, there was the plague. You know about the plague in Europe in the 1600s. What did Martin do? Did he flee the city with his wife and his kids so that they would be safe and protected? No, he stayed there. In fact, he did. In the first year, 1637, he did 4,480 funerals. 50 people died every day there. And he kept doing his ministry. And he wrote, Now Thank We All Our God. And he did it as a table blessing that also became a creed and an affirmation. It's not the circumstances that bring us joy. It is, in fact, Jesus, the one and only Savior who saves us from our sin. How many of you were around in the 1960s, Apollo 11? Remember that? July 1969? What happened? People landed on the moon. They walked on the moon. And a man by the name of Charlie Duke was here on Earth, and he was the radio communicator with the astronauts that were walking on the moon. Does it get any better than that? Yeah, 3 years later, guess who got to walk on the moon? Charlie Duke, youngest man ever to walk on the moon. He was the 10th person to do it. Apollo 16. He came home thinking, how do you top this? Right? How do you top this? He had exhilaration, and then it turned into absolute despair. His wife was depressed. She wanted to take her life. They had two small children. There was nothing but hopelessness. Oh, they were connected to a church in Texas. I suppose they had their name on a list. And then the church hosted an event called Faith Alive for couples. And they pretty much had tried everything else, so Dottie, Charlie Duke's wife, said, let's check this out, this Jesus stuff. And they did. And she came away from that weekend with a change of heart. The Lord opened her heart, and she had joy. It still took some time for Charlie to come around. But she came to saving faith in Jesus. and not just simply the healing of an earthly circumstance. Charlie Duke is now 85 years old, still alive. You can read about him. You can go on your internet. He says, people are always coming up to me and saying, wow, I get to shake hands with, or I get to meet a man, the youngest man ever to walk on the moon. And Charlie, who is now in the Lord, he said, they want to meet a man that walked on the moon. I want to introduce them to a God who, in the only perfect person ever, came down to earth and walked with us. 1972, youngest man ever to walk on the moon. How do you top that? This is what Charlie Duke says, age 85. He said, I walked on the moon for 3 days. But by the grace of God, in the Lord, I get to walk with Jesus forever. Grateful. Grateful for the gift of salvation. Rejoice, Paul says, in the Lord. Always. Again I say, rejoice. Exclamation point. In the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Happy Thanksgiving. I invite you to join with me in singing, O Jesus, Joy of Loving Hearts. 3 verses.
O Jesus, Joy of Loving Hearts, the fount of life, the light of all. From every bliss that earth imparts, we turn unfailed to hear your call. We taste you have a living bread and long to feast upon you still. We drink of you the fountain. Thirsting souls from you we fill. O Jesus, ever with us stay, make all our moments fair and bright. O chase the night of sin away, shed o'er the world your holy light.
Please join with me in our confession of faith from Martin Luther's Small Catechism, meaning to Article 1 of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that God has created me and all that exists. He has given and still preserves my body and soul with all their powers. He provides me with food and clothing, home and family, daily work, and all I need from day to day. God also protects me in time of danger and guards me from every evil. All this he does out of fatherly and divine goodness and mercy, though I do not deserve it. Therefore, I surely ought to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. We continue with our prayers. Each petition will end with, Lord, in your mercy, and we will respond with, hear our prayer.
Father in heaven, You are the creator and source of all things. To you alone do we owe thanks and praise. We give you thanks that we can call you Father because of your Son, Jesus Christ, whose death on the cross provided payment for our sin, and whose resurrection gives us hope and new life through Spirit-worked faith in him. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father, we confess that we have often been less than thankful for all your care and gifts. We often think that somehow we are entitled to your generosity, or that we have somehow earned all we have by our own hard work and effort. Forgive us and instruct our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit toward true humility and gratitude. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, our National Day of Thanksgiving was established in 1863 during the Civil War in the midst of chaos and conflict. Today we live in the context of a world where wars continue to rage, fear is epidemic, and death seems to demand victory. We thank you for being so sovereign over all of our affairs as you rule in power and grace. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father, we thank you for giving us each day our daily bread. You provide all that we need to sustain us. Direct and help us to be instruments of daily bread in the lives of others less fortunate than us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy Spirit, direct the hearts of our nation's leaders and her people to call upon you for wisdom, and may we truly be thankful. May we become a nation of grateful people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, we beseech you to come speedily to the rescue of all who cry out for healing of body, mind, heart, or spirit.
Gracious Father, we pray for those who are battling cancer, that you would heal them of the cancer so that they might sing your praises and serve to your will and glory. We pray this day, Lord, that you would be with Nancy Webster, that you would bless, O Lord, the healing of Vicky Mulvihill, that you would be with Pam Deacon Joyner and her husband David, with Mark Haseth, that you would continue, Lord, to be with Mel Harris as he continues to heal from his surgery yesterday. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for all your blessings, earthly here and heavenly yet to come. For thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore.
Deliver them from their afflictions and restore them to the fellowship of all who care for them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father, hear our prayer and graciously grant all that glorifies you and benefits our poor, broken world. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
We'll be sharing God's peace in the days and months ahead. Maybe tomorrow, for example, on Thanksgiving Day, you want to do some Zooming or you want to call somebody. Make sure that in the Lord, you share with them what Paul shared with you tonight from Philippians chapter 4. And the God of peace will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In the Lord, we know real peace, and we share that peace with others. And then also want to remind you that we have many ways to support the mission of God here at Emmanuel and other places as well. There's a basket in the back as you leave tonight, or there's online options, etc. So wherever it is that God is calling you to do it in the name of Jesus, to bring the gift of salvation to the unsaved, I encourage you to do that. It's our tradition at Emmanuel also, if there are gifts given, that we place the offering on Thanksgiving into the pastor's discretionary fund to help those who are less fortunate as well. We continue then with our communion song, Now Thank We All Our God, 3 verses. Thank you.
thank we, our God, with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us, with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, and keep us in his grace, and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all harm in this world and the next. Oh, praise and thanks to God, the Father now be given, the Son and him who reigns with them in highest heaven, the one eternal God, whom earth and heaven adore. For thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and drink. This cup is the new promise in my blood, which is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please join with me in our sending and benediction. May the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and among you in the days ahead. Amen. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our going forth song, God Be With You.
Be with you till we meet again. By his counsels guide, uphold you. With his sheep in love enfold you. God be with you till we meet again. Yeah. Till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet, till we meet, God be with you till we meet again.
Please follow the direction then of the ushers as you're leaving tonight. Remember, the Lord's Supper is being offered for the forgiveness of our sins. The Lord is at hand, Paul says, and in the Lord we receive the forgiveness of sins through his body and his blood. Consecrated grape juice, consecrated wine, also gluten-free wafers for those who need it as well. And then don't forget to take some pie with you. And as you're eating that piece of pie, I hope that you remember how we are in fellowship. And normally we would be sitting around the same table together, right? But tonight it's the table of our Lord and the great Thanksgiving and the gift of our salvation that we want to be grateful for. So